in the Lord's house. I probably need to invest in me just a handkerchief. But anyway, this is the Lord. You'll probably see paper all over my head. No, it's actually feeling much better here than earlier. Anyways, good to be here. I want you to turn your Bibles to Mark the 9th chapter. Mark the 9th chapter. I usually don't choose the Sunday school passage as my text, but as we were going through Mark chapter number 9, I discovered something that was very important in the text that I want to preach on tonight, in the Gospel according to Mark. And Mark chapter number 9, and I want to begin in verse number 14. And we're going to have to move a little fast here and preach. But Mark chapter number 9, verse number 14 is where I want to start our reading tonight. And here, beginning in verse 14, the Bible says, "And when he came to his disciples," meaning Jesus, "he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them." Now look, as you always, when you read the Gospels, you'll discover that the multitudes was always going behind Jesus. There was many times the multitudes would follow him. And what that shows to you and I is that Christ, there was a time where in this particular incident that Christ in early in his ministry was quite popular. His fame had been carried throughout the land and he was quite popular. And I just long for revival in our nation where the multitude would come and follow Jesus. And I believe that that can still happen. But it says he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. Now that's good. Christ ought to be reverenced. Amen? It goes on to say in verse number 16, "And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Now, what parent would not bring their son to the Lord Jesus Christ for healing? We see such a powerful example of the love that you and I ought to have as parents to our children. And he goes on to say, "Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." I think there's a lot of people today that's got a dumb spirit. Amen. No, that means something a little different. But a dumb spirit. This boy had an evil spirit in him. And there's plenty of people today that I would say and guess in our society that has an evil spirit. I really do believe that. Some of the worst crimes that are committed, I think it might be fair to say, were possessed by people with evil spirits. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 18, "And wheresoever he taketh him," meaning this evil spirit, "he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away." Now look, you want to see the power of Satan, you will see it in this particular incident. Devils have power in the lives of people. Devils are real. The Bible talks about there even being in the last days doctrines of devils. And there's plenty of doctrines of devils going on throughout the world. It's actually, many doctrines of devils have actually crept into the church. But here, this boy, he has a wicked spirit, an evil spirit, and he's being controlled by the devil. Now, I'm glad to tell you that our Savior Jesus Christ came to destroy and to undo the power and the works of the one who has come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Amen.
And that's the devil. And the devil is trying to do that in your life today. He wants to kill, destroy, and steal you from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm glad that over in one of the books in the New Testament, the Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world."
I believe that.
And if you are born again tonight, you've got the power of God upon you. You have got the Holy Spirit in you. And you don't have to be afraid of devils. But in this particular incident, this child is possessed. And you can just imagine. You can just imagine as a parent watching your child foam at the mouth and go through what this child is going through. And so this father says, "I spake to thy disciples." Here it is. How awful the situation is here. I want to let you know it just got worse. Because he goes on to say that they should cast him out, and they could not. The worst part in this passage of Scripture is the powerlessness of the disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the most bleakest, terrible thing about this passage of Scripture. It's not that the boy was possessed, although that is terrible. But the Father hears the fame of Jesus Christ and His disciples, and the multitudes have also heard about this. And this Father comes thinking that the disciples could do something, and yet they are powerless in casting out this devil. And I'll tell you why. In this particular incident, as we continue to go through this passage, you'll see why in verse number 28. But one time Jesus said, "For without me, ye can do nothing." Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I as believers can do nothing for the cause of Christ. I cannot stand behind this pulpit tonight and have power with God in preaching the Word of God if it wasn't for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm very well aware of His power tonight. Look, screaming and preaching and saying truth, that's all great. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't bring that power down into the hearts of you people, you just won't get the message.
Right.
And so Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And here in this particular incident, the disciples were not able to do anything. That was a terrible, terrible situation. He goes on to say in verse 19, "He answereth him and saith, Oh, what? Faithless generation." Look, you and I live in a very crooked generation, the Bible says. The Bible talks about the generation that you and I live in is a generation that a child will curse mother and father. And I would absolutely add to that that you and I live in a faithless generation. To such an extent that Jesus would say when He comes back, would He find the faith on the earth? And so He goes on to say here, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." I'm telling you, Jesus has divine ability. He's God. He can do what no man can do. And in verse number 20, it says, "They brought him unto him." You want to know the chief thing that God has for you and I? Is to bring people to Jesus. That's what God wants you and I to do, is bring people to Jesus. Amen. "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground in wild foaming." I'm telling you, this wicked spirit knew what was probably getting ready to happen. And in verse 21, "He asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child." Once again, here's another situation of someone who's had a dreadful disease from childhood. "And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." I'm telling you, Jesus has compassion on us tonight, and He wants to help us. Amen. And He goes on to say in verse number 23, "Jesus said unto him," here it is, "If thou canst believe, some things are possible." No. Most things are possible. No. All things are possible, the Bible says, unto him that believeth. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 24, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, came out of him and was one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. That is the most powerful two things that you and I can ever do as a believer.
Yeah.
Pray and fast. But I want to bring your attention back to verse number 19. Or verse number 18 rather. Here's this man. He brings his child and he spakes to the disciples in verse 18 that they should cast him out, and they could not. And later on in the passage we learn why they couldn't. Jesus said, because in verse 28, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And tonight what I want to preach on is they could not. They could not. Lord, we come to you right now, God, and I pray, Lord, this message would just get down into our hearts tonight, Lord. I pray that you just help me to say everything you want me to say, Lord. Refrain me from saying anything I shouldn't say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, in this passage, the Lord Jesus teaches you and I the most important ingredient of a successful ministry. The disciples lacked that ingredient and they failed miserably in this particular case. In this passage, we're told in verse number 18 that the disciples of Jesus failed in their attempt to cast out a demon from a little boy. And the boy's father summed it up this way. They could not. They could not. And he was right. Here this father, he comes to these disciples with a need. He comes to these men hoping to find some help for his family, but he found that they had nothing to offer him in the time of need. They could not. And of course, we got to ask, why could they not? Why did they fail in doing for this father what needed to be done? And that is because, you listen to me, they lacked spiritual power. They lacked spiritual power. They lacked it because they were missing what Jesus tells them in verse 29. And many times Jesus would correct his disciples because of their unbelief. And so, all of us, when we look at these verses tonight, they teach us something. Our problem today is the same as it was for them disciples. And oftentimes we lack the ingredient that we need to be successful in serving God. They could not. What a shame. And so tonight I want us to look in this more detail. Number one, they lacked spiritual power. They lacked it. In verses 1 through 13, now if you read the very first part of this account in Mark chapter number 9, you have the account of the transfiguration. Okay? In verses 1 through 13, Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John up into a mount, and he was transfigured before them. And the glory of his heavenly state became visible on that mountaintop. And not only was Jesus there, but you had Moses and Elijah. And these men had seen this. And when these disciples, Peter, James, and John, when they came down from the mountain, they find the other nine disciples in verse 14 engaged in an argument with the scribes. And it was about this father who had brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus for healing. And so Jesus, he walks upon the scene in verse number 16. And the father, who's in great turmoil at this point, he describes the condition of his son to Jesus. And in verse number 18, let's look at that again. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. All this is in the present tense. Every bit of it is. And so in verse number 19, here's what Jesus says in verse number 19. Oh, faithless generation. Now that oh is a very strong word. It's a word of deep anguish. It was, if you ever search that word throughout the New Testament, it's always when Jesus is almost disappointed in his disciples. It's that word he uses when he's disappointed. And so he says, how much longer am I going to have to put up with you? And all that is sad. But the saddest part is the powerlessness of these disciples. The powerlessness of these disciples. Here they had seen all amazing miracles by Jesus. And yet, they still lacked faith. They still lacked the faith that was needed to heal and to cast out this devil. in this particular passage of Scripture. And it's ironic, because in the past, they had cast out devils before. Mark chapter number 6, they had cast out devils before. They had seen these miracles, but here they could not. They could not. I'm telling you, most churches today, you listen to me. Most churches today, unfortunately, lack spiritual power. Very unfortunate, but they lack the spiritual power. I think every person who darts the door of this church ought to come in, and because they know you and I are Christians, they ought to be able to feel the power of the gospel running through this building.
Yes.
They ought to. So they could not. They were very weak spiritually at this particular case. There was no touch of God. There was no power of God. And yet the world comes in here and they expect help with their condition. And you and I ought to be here to deliver that. And so in verse number 19 through verse number 27, we see finally Jesus shows up and now the power has come upon the scene. And my, what did Jesus do here? This man, in verse number 25, the Bible says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." That is really what the disciples were supposed to do. But they didn't have that power. They lacked it. In verse number, look at verse number 22. This man came to the disciples expecting power from God. And now because the disciples did not have this power, it started to influence the way that he comes to Jesus. In verse number 22, it says, "Ofttimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything..." Now, the disciples, because they lacked the power, this father here assumed that Jesus lacked the power too. This is where, if you and I do not have the power of God on our lives, it will influence the way that people see Jesus Christ. The powerless church, a powerless church portrays Jesus Christ in a very bad light. And that's what, in this particular instance, he says, "If thou can do anything." Now, he doesn't have a whole lot of faith in Jesus at this point. He's got little faith. And Brother Bob preached on that this morning. There are different degrees of faith. There are. The Bible talks about a faith dwelt according to measure to each one of us. Each one of us have a certain measure of faith. And yet, this lost world, when they walk into this church building and they see deadness and they see coldness, they begin to assume that Jesus is lifeless. They assume that Jesus is now dead. You and I are the light to the world.
Right.
You and I ought to portray what it is that Jesus Christ has done our life. If they don't see the power of Jesus Christ in our life, they begin to think that he's got no power. I want people to see the power of Jesus in our church. God wants the church to be powerful. Look, you and I, we got a lot more to do for God, I believe. I really believe that. We got a lot more souls to bring into the kingdom of God. Look, last Sunday, wasn't last Sunday a little exciting? Well, of course I thought it was exciting. Amen. But wasn't it exciting to see people be saved and come back to the Lord? That's exciting. Look, we're not looking for a home run every time in church, but it would be great to see souls added to the kingdom of God in church.
Amen.
It's going to take the power of God. Look, all week I have been struggling with this a little bit. And I haven't begun preaching. And I don't know if I'm going to. But something's burdened my heart to really preach a series of messages through the book of Acts. I'm telling you what, I scratch my head and I think the power that the early Christians had. I think you and I come very short of the power that they had. I really do believe that. I don't know if you believe that tonight, but I do. When I see the book of Acts and I see the 2,000 being added, 3,000 being added, and people are being saved, and persecution sprung out, but the disciples kept on growing. They kept on preaching. People being healed spiritually and physically. I'm telling you what, there are some saints of God that had some power on them. I just think sometimes you and I are lacking that power. I want that power. I want that power. And you know what you and I got to do to get that power? We have got to pray and fast. There are certain things that will not come about unless there's prayer and fasting.
That's true.
But the problem is we're not careful. We get to the place where we don't seek the Lord in those two areas. And I believe that's where we're missing the power of God today. The power of God. A powerless church portrays Jesus Christ in a bad light. That's the first thing. Number two, weak faith is better than no faith. Get a hold of that. This man here, this father here, he was filled with doubt, but there was still some faith in his heart. You can see it. And as a result, he got what he desired from the Lord. And God is, he's not surprised by our doubts. But total unbelief slams the door to him acting. There's small faith is better than no faith. But I'm telling you what, the Bible over and over and over in the New Testament, Jesus would say this over and over. He would say, according to your faith, let it be. According to your faith, let it be.
That's right.
According to your faith. Look, the greater the faith, the greater the power of God in your life. I've heard people say before, oh, no, that's not the case. I'm sorry, but that ain't what I read in my Bible. That ain't what I see in Scripture. Over and over, Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be done. And now I'm just scratching my head and say, why do people tell me that there is not faith necessary to have power of God? Something's missing. But small faith is better than no faith. But you and I, as we continue to serve God, as we continue to grow as Christians, you listen to me. If you've been sitting in this pulpit for 30-odd years and you ain't got no more knowledge of God's Word and no more power with God than what you had 30 years ago, there's some growth that needs to happen.
Yes.
Paul was mentioned in the book of Hebrews over and over in chapter 5 that the time that you ought to be teachers, you need to keep being fed with milk.
Your Lord.
Like a bunch of babies.
God help.
Ain't nothing that kind of crawls under my skin than to see Christians 30, 40 years and don't hardly know anything about the Bible. Any more than what they knew the day they got saved. You and I ought to be growing.
Yes.
We ought to be growing in the Lord. Amen. And as we continue growing in the Lord, we will grow in power with God. I believe that's what the Scripture teaches. So a weak faith is better than no faith. But listen to this. Jesus is still in the lifting business. Amen? If you look at verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and he arose. I'm telling you, Jesus is still in the lifting up business. I don't care how down you are tonight. I don't care how low you've gotten. Jesus will still lift you up in your darkest hours, I promise you. I'm telling you what I've seen in a week's time. I'm going to talk a little about mom's salvation. I've seen in a week's time a totally different person. Friday night, I got a phone call. Go to my mom, and she said, are we still on for tomorrow? I thought to myself, on for tomorrow? Saturday, I work. What do you mean on for tomorrow? She said, aren't we going to church? I'm going to drop phone. Go to church. That's the first time my mom ever called me up and asked, are we going to church? Yeah. But when a person gets saved,
yes,
and when the Spirit of God forms a new creature inside you, you start talking the way you used to not talk. You start to go to the house of God that you wouldn't go to before you got saved. She told me, oh yeah, I'm through Genesis chapter number 6 and been reading my daily bread every day. Really? Wow. That's wonderful. But you and I know, as you and I both know,
that if we're not careful, she'll get to the place of some of us where the Bible gets shut.
Yeah. God help.
And the daily time with God stops. We ought to have more power with God.
Yes.
After we continue to grow. These disciples, they could not. They just couldn't do it. And Jesus was very, really upset with them when he uses the word oh, faithless generation. Mm-hmm. Oh, faithless generation. You and I, we need to pray.
Yes.
I'm telling you what, if you look back at verse number 29, I know we're running over time, but look, you want power with God? You will seek God. Amen?
Yeah.
You won't quench the Spirit and cut them off. Look, this world is so dark. If there was ever a time that the church needed more power, it's now.
Amen.
It's now. You say, what kind of power, Brady? I'm talking about the power that can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because it's so powerful, it leads people to Christ. That's the power that I'm talking about. And ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me. And when that happened, 2,000, 3,000, they had the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. When they preached the gospel, it convicted the hearts of those that listened, and people got saved. Look, you and I ought to have some power to win people to Jesus.
Yes, Lord, help us. I believe that.
I mean, I just stand around and I think, I bet you there's plenty of churches that haven't seen a person saved in more than a year or longer. And you say, well, that's kind of self-righteous. That's kind of being judgmental. Look, I'm telling you, there's some power missing. There's some power missing. We get power with God. And look, this does not come about but without prayer. Without prayer. You and I are commanded to pray. And we must be surrendered. And we must totally be dependent on the Lord.
Yes.
If there's anything I want to charge your heart with tonight, it's have the burden for lost people. There ain't anything else that I would want to preach tonight than the burden for lost people. And then to get to the place in our own Christian lives, well, we've got power to win people to Christ. God's not done with the church. If we're not seeing people saved, it's not because of God. It's not because of the church. It's got to be you and I. It's got to. But I'll tell you the answer. Because of thou unbelief. You and I, sometimes we go to God in prayer. Look, it's good to pray. It's good to go to God in prayer. But oftentimes we go to God in prayer thinking it's our duty to pray to God, but not expecting anything from God. Not expecting Him to answer our prayer. The Bible makes it very plain. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But it says not doubting, not wavering. For if that man does that, don't think that he should get anything from the Lord. For he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. God wants you and I tonight to get our faith settled in Him. To stop doubting Him and believe Him. And get the Holy Spirit power that we need to win souls to Jesus Christ. I want a verse of invitation tonight. And look, you say, I'm not called to do that. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. God has called every single person in this church house tonight to extend the invitation of the gospel to another person. The Bible says, the bride and the Spirit say, come. And let anyone who hear say, come. When's the last time you told someone about Jesus? I want you to think about that tonight. When is the last time? I want you to stand this evening. But when is the last time, truly? And I'm not here to make anyone feel bad. But when is the last time you personally told someone about Jesus? I want you to think about that tonight as we sing the song this evening. And the Lord dealing with your hearts. What are we singing?
Number 267.
267. God's not done with us, folks. God wants us to be used by Him. We must get in tune with God. We must get in tune with God. You want God to use you tonight? Come forth tonight. Don't you want to be used by God? Or do you want it said of you, He could not. He could not. Oh, I don't want that said of me. God wants to use us.
Before you tonight. Oh Lord, God, I know without you I can do nothing. Lord, without you I can do nothing. Lord, I stand behind this pulpit tonight. Lord, I'm very displeased with my own efforts tonight, Lord. But God, you have the power to bring souls to the altar tonight, Lord. God, I pray that as this church, Lord, I pray that we would be used. God, I pray that we wouldn't be as powerless as the disciples were. Lord, they were so powerless when they needed to have the power of God on them. Lord, I want everyone in the church house tonight to be able to win people, win their families, Lord, win their children, win their grandchildren, and win other people to the Lord. God, we need boldness tonight, Lord. We're so scared sometimes, Lord. God, we're so weak at times. We just keep our mouths shut sometimes, but Lord, we need your power. God, I pray that the power of God would fall tonight, and it would just burden us for lost people, Lord. God, use this church in a very mighty way. In the name of your Son, I do pray. Amen. What's the next song?
Number 483.
483. Unbelief tonight, you can ask God to help you. He will help you. Is our all tonight. If we would just give him our all, we would have power. We would have power tonight.
Such a way, Holy Ghost conviction is experienced once again in the house of God as we've seen it in years gone by. Sinners crying out for repentance, for forgiveness, wanting Christ to come into their lives. Lord, I pray this prayer once tonight, and I'll pray it with my brothers and sisters of Christ in this church. God, deal with us. If we need conviction, convict us. Lord, we need drawing, draw us. May we not go through a week of prayerlessness without seeking the face of the living God. Oh, my Lord, there is sweet victory. We've sung this song tonight, victory in Jesus. But it's just a song unless we experience it in the reality of the lives that we live in. I don't want the big bad wolf knocking and blowing my house down. Stand strong, because we're built, established upon a solid rock. The hand of God is at work. Glorify the Christ and let our light shine. So Lord, bless our church family tonight as we go through another week and seek the face of God. Oh Lord, deal with us. Deal with us, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Clear. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and be dismissed tonight. Look, God, we're getting ready to start a new week, folks. My charge to the church tonight is tell someone about Jesus this week. Tell them you're a sinner. You deserve the penalty of it, but Christ came to deliver you from it. Real three simple steps. Just share the gospel with someone this week. Don't be afraid of it. This world can be changed if we preach the gospel this week. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. To be dismissed tonight, Brother Richard White, will you close us in prayer tonight, please?